The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Thank you for calling Office Depot. This is Kevin. How may I help you?
Kevin, darling! How are you? Sid Greenbaum here, representing star wide receiver Dez Bryant. What do you say, baby? Are you ready to talk? How about you and I put this to bed and go get a piña colada? Oh, Kevin, you're hurting me. Yesterday, my client, Dez Bryant, had a private workout at your facility.
A workout? You mean that guy that came in and filled out an application yesterday? I gotta be honest with you, mister. We all thought it was a joke.
A joke? Kevin, have I hurt you in some way? Why would you insult me like that?
Well, he wants $3.5 million a year to work in the warehouse. Come on.
Oh, Kevin, you wound me. Darling, trust me, it's a bargain. Dez has been to multiple Pro Bowls. He's a star, for crying out loud. Getting this kind of talent that cheap is going to be the best move of your life.
We're head off a supply store. We need a stock boy.
And you've got the best, just as he's headed into the prime of his career. Listen, I don't like to make threats, you know, but James down at the Jiffy Lube is supposed to call me back this morning, and I am expecting a text from the Sylvia Martin. That's right, Sylvia Martin, regional manager of all 6 area locations of PetSmart, and frankly, I gave you the best deal out of all of them because I thought we made a connection, Kevin. So listen, if you want talent like this, I suggest we stop messing around and get this job done, because those piña coladas aren't going to drink themselves. Am I right? Hello?
Hum hum.
Bang Radio.
I am very happy to be here.
Oh, put stop it.
You like that?
Once you go deck, you don't go back.
Deck, deck, deck.
He's Jesus, bro.
Bang.
You know, we know what we're capable of. You know, have we shown it to the world yet? I don't think we have.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hold on. With Scrumble?
This is football.
I'm at it with sucking.
Maybe there's a chance.
And now, here's John and Tom.
That you can't
you
stop
one.
And be a man.
You start your one off right there.
On your little fucking knees and not represent the
fact
that made you
put the bar. Who are, what's your name?
I'm not telling you my fucking name. What's your name?
Who are you?
Big Mike.
Fuck off. I don't care who you are.
You just...
All I care about is the fact that my tax dollars pay for you to play and go fucking
stay
play.
Stay.
And get off your fucking knees.
You done yet?
If anyone is on the field and is disrespectful to the anthem or the flag, there would be a fine from the league against the team. The team will have its own work rules, will be consistent with the overall policy, and they will make their own decisions about how to manage that from there.
The time has come for someone to put his foot down, and that foot is me.
Oh, the sheriff has acted, John.
Tom, we've got to do the Pledge of Allegiance before the show.
Right. Seriously, you do not want us to get Big Brother looking down.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, what the fuck is all of that about? What the fuck is all of that about? And you know, right now, there's a percentage of our audience going, I'll tell you what the fuck, it's goddamned Old Glory, red, white, and blue, let me tell you, buddy.
All right, we will get to that. I'm Tom, yes, he's John. This is Bang Radio Hour number 326. John, coming up, what a brown smells like.
I think I know. I have a clue.
What NFL ban on using marijuana? What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Odell Beckham Jr. has lost God. Michael Irvin does an African warrior dance. And a PGA golfer is a loser and a pussy, according to his wife. And so much more. So much more. First, though, we have to welcome just a whole bunch of new listeners, man.
Yeah, welcome, everybody, from NFL Addiction, this new Facebook group that I joined over the last couple of weeks. Man, that's a hopping group.
They got a lot of NFL addicts over there.
Well, everybody's an NFL addict. We all are NFL addicts. Sure. And see, they say there's an opioid crisis in the country, Tom. But what I see by looking at this group is that there is a fucking creeping crisis of Jets fans. Holy fuck, there's a shitload of them over there.
Is that right?
Honestly, you would think with a team that hasn't won jack shit in 50 years, you would think, you know, the next generation's coming down the line might know better.
They have to gather somewhere, John. And now we've shown the world where they are, and now they're going to have to find a new home because everybody's going to go over there and rag on them.
I have a feeling that's only a percentage of it. And I will give them credit because their other option would have been the Giants, and they probably looked at themselves and said, you know, my IQ is over 75, so right.
No subhumans.
Thanks to Fireman Ed, they can all spell Jets. So that leaves them right out of the Giants discussion.
All right, so my voice is still kind of shot from last weekend. I was at Rock on the Range, which happens, for anybody who doesn't know, in Columbus, Ohio. It's a three-day rock festival. And, man, what a great weekend. Always a great weekend at Rock on the Range. It's like Christmas around here. I go every year. And my family, my wife, my kids go, their friends go. We just have a blast.
Tom's the one who lays the blanket out and yells at all the moshing kids, get the hell away from my bucket of chicken, you bastard!
My son's laughing right now because he and I are in the pits together, man. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember Ice-T's metal rap group Body Count?
Yeah. Well, fuck the police. Something like that. It's been a long time.
They put out a new album last year, and they were here. Ice-T, I'm watching Ice-T. He comes out. He opens up. He comes out on stage, and dude takes care of himself. He got to be like 60 years old. You would have never known it. They open up with Raining Blood by Slayer, and the place goes insane. The whole floor was one giant mosh pit, man. It was crazy.
I like Ice-T. I like Ice-T because somebody asked him one time how he could sing songs about fucking the cops and then go over there on television and be a cop.
And
he goes, because, lady, I'm an actor.
That's right.
I'm an actor. Both of these are characters.
It was funny how many people kept calling him Detective Finn.
Hey, man. You know what? The dude cashed in on a look, an attitude, and he's good at what he does, so let him do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, like the headliners were Alice in Chains, Avenged Sevenfold, and Tool. Godsmack was there. We saw Greta Van Fleet, the band that sounds like Led Zeppelin, and they just blew everybody's mind. They were so good. They're like 18 and 19 years old. It's ridiculous how talented they are at that age. But
now, see, we were talking about that a minute ago before we turned the microphones on, and like I told you, I want to see what comes next because, like you said, they sound just like Led Zeppelin. Okay, great. So, you know, so do a lot of cover bands. Let me see what you do next. That's a really good album they did, but let me see what comes next.
Well, apparently, we have a listener who was vlogging at Rock on the Range. Who was that?
Oh, I can't remember who the hell it was, but he kept coming across my my Facebook feed and he did have Greta Van Fleet on there. So whoever you were, fucking sing out, because I remember watching it, but I was going to tell you to go see Tom because he was there.
Yeah.
He was the guy with the checkered blanket that was yelling at everybody to get the fuck away from his chicken.
If you only knew, man, how beat up my body got down front all weekend.
Protecting those fucking mashed potatoes is difficult.
All right, let's get on to the podcast.
Hey, get your foot out of the olives, you punk.
Anyway, welcome to NFL Addicted Facebook page and everybody over there.
Hey,
we are actually going to hear from some of those guys coming up at in the email segment, so at the end of the show. All right, so yeah, the NFL owners have officially banned players from kneeling during the national anthem. And the beginning, I don't know if you heard the last show, but that was the girl who pulled up next to the Seahawks players and started yelling at them about kneeling and got all nasty with them. So
girl,
I thought that
is
was
a no. She that is a woman who is just sitting at home watching her husband's money roll through the door. She gets into her fucking Lexus SUV and follows these guys into Seahawks camp.
Right. Remember we talked about she was wearing a long sleeve shirt and a vest.
I'm not done berating you. Would you please wait here while I go down to Starbucks and get a latte? I'll be right back.
Okay, so the new rule says players have to stand, show respect for the flag. So if they raise a fist or they link arms, that could be a violation.
Link arms?
Yeah, you know how they'll link arms sometime or they'll hold their fist in
the air. Well, what if one of them's going to fall over?
Well, then maybe they can appeal.
That's ridiculous.
If any player or team employee doesn't stand, now that's the thing, though. The player can kneel. If the player kneels, nothing happens to him from the league. The league finds the team. It's up to the team to put their own policy. I love how Goodell did this. You know,
he's a coward.
He's trying to make it look like he's done something, but he's actually not. He doesn't want the power in this particular case. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he doesn't want the responsibility. He doesn't want to be freaking called out for no matter which way it goes. He's sitting on a powder keg. The whole freaking country's a powder keg.
If he finds the owners, nobody cares.
Well, the owners care.
Well,
sort of.
Maybe they'll fire him.
You know how fucked up this all is? How fucked up the country is and how fucked up this is? I saw a headline from Onion Sports today that said that Jerry Jones would be proud to pay all the fines for all his players' sexual misconduct or sexual assaults. And I had to stop and look again to see that was the Onion to make sure that was a joke. That's how fucked up things are. Like, what, really? Oh, no, no, it's not really.
Well, the league didn't say how much the fine would be. They also didn't say how respect for the flag would be defined. And Goodell said the vote was unanimous among owners, although Jed York abstained.
Oh, that's coming out to be false, depending on who you're talking to. Because, goddamn it, Tom, there's alternate facts all over the place.
Oh, fake news, John, fake news. But here's the thing. Jed York said they are going to ban concession sales during the national anthem. He said, if we're going to honor the flag, we are going to make sure we go through a litany of things. We're not going to force people to stand at their seats, but we're going to make sure we're not profiting during the anthem. And I thought, wow, somebody actually trying not to be a hypocrite. That's amazing in this country.
Here's an idea. You really want to do something like that and make me honestly believe that you give a fuck? Then stop hiring illegal fucking aliens to populate your goddamn concession stands. Hire some fucking Americans that will turn around and look at that flag and say, no hot dog for you right now, fat boy. The song is on.
Well, it is hard to ask players to stand and honor the anthem while Joe Blow's outside pumping melted cheese on his $15 plate of nachos during the fucking Star-Spangled Banner. You know,
nachos.
Come on.
How are you? Well, you can't order nachos. That's Mexican food. What the fuck?
Stop it.
God damn it.
All right, so the players have the out. You know, they don't have to be on the field. They can stay in the locker room, and then they're not penalized by the league. Of course,
right.
The players don't see that as a compromise because the whole point of protesting is to be seen protesting. So they're right. Not, you know, so again, they feel like their rights are getting squashed. But then again, the TV networks are going to point out who's not on the field anyway, right? You know, oh, well,
look, the TV networks never used to show us the fucking anthem until they started doing this shit. Nobody gave a fuck.
Exactly. Not unless you were in the stadium.
Nope. And I'll tell you what, Tom, here it is right now. I'm going to go ahead and call my official stance is that I no longer give a fuck. And you know why? Because I know why they knelt. I know why they knelt. I don't need to see them do it anymore to support it. I know exactly why they did it. So it's a pointless fucking thing. Anyway, it serves no purpose anymore. Message received, Tom. The message I try to send out across the league. Look, man, I know 94% of the players in the league listen to this show, and once Cleveland gets cable up there, they're going to, you know, probably even 100. So, look, I get it, guys. Carry on. Do whatever the fuck you need to do to keep your money in your pocket. I want you to get fined by going out there and cleaning some quarterback's fucking clock. That's why I'm here. You're going to get fined. Go out there and get fined for fucking clobbering somebody. That's what I'm watching.
Right. Let's move on. The NFL voted Arizona's getting a Super Bowl in 2023, New Orleans in 2024. They also voted to put the 2019 draft in Nashville.
That'll be pretty cool, I think. I don't like country music, but you know what? If you get down there where the people are actually trying to make it in music, there's some musicians.
Nashville has blown up, man. Yeah, Nashville's gone, which is putting out great artists left and right now.
So, yeah, I don't mind it. That's fine with me. They're having it in, well, they had it in Dallas. They just had it in Dallas. They had it in Philadelphia. Fuck it. I don't care. Have it wherever you want.
Hmm. Oh, are you a Stone Temple Pilots fan?
Yeah.
They got a new singer.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said I was.
Jeff Gute, that's his name.
Jeff Gute?
Yeah, it's spelled G-U-T-T, but they were at Rock on the Range, and I hadn't seen them in a long time, you know, since Scott Weiland was in his prime. But, dude, this guy's great. They blew me away. They were absolutely, if you like him, you get a chance to see him. The new album's great. He sounds just like Weiland. So.
Well, see, that's always where I don't care. Sound like yourself. That's the way I see it.
Well, I mean, he just happens to.
And I always like Stone Temple Pilots because their guitar player is fucking badass.
Oh, yeah. He's incredible. He's badass. This guy, the guy that's singing for him now, came in second place on X Factor.
Really?
Yeah. He sounds fantastic, man.
Shit's getting all too combo.
Check out their new album.
Everything that was cool is now all corporate.
Listen to their new album. It's fantastic. Yeah. Really just sounds like great STP, man.
See, the thing is that we're talking about this, and people are listening to us going, yeah, I think that's probably true. Or, no, I don't know. John might be right about that. And the fact is the NFL isn't going to pay attention to any of you, and they're going to give you something nobody likes for the fucking Super Bowl halftime.
Right.
We were just talking about where the Super Bowls are going to be, and all you're going to know is fucking which one is Justin Bieber playing at, because he's going to be about that age in those years.
They'll probably put that stupid Cardi B on there or some crap.
Go get the guy that did I Want to Get High, you know, and then I got high. Get that guy, that one-hit wonder that I then I got high, whoever the fuck that was, and let him do the Super Bowl show.
All right, well, listen, Goodell had this announcement to make about next year's draft in Nashville.
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
There you go.
Man, he got booed hard again.
Always, always, always.
I'll tell you what. I'll bet you at his house when he's carving the fucking Thanksgiving turkey, he stands up, boo, everybody fucking boos the shit out of him.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield,
wow,
quarterback, Oklahoma.
But why, John? They have Tyrod Taylor, and he is the starting quarterback. You know this, right?
I do know this.
You wouldn't dare question that.
I heard so much growth out of Tyrod Taylor while he was up in Buffalo. I know he's going to be a success in Cleveland.
I heard growth out of him.
Yeah.
It sounded amazing. It was so amazing that I traded him off to Green Bay.
I like Deshaun. You know, I like the feel of him with me.
But you got him away from you.
Well, you know, that Aaron Rodgers, he's a panty-wearing fool. So, you know, we figured, put the two of them together. Once I'm done with them, I use them like a rag, Tom. I dry them up. Watch, I'm going to be done with Tyrod Taylor next year, and I'm going to cast him aside just like a piece of tissue.
People keep asking.
Tyrod Taylor is going to be our starting quarterback, first and foremost. So let's make sure that we understand that. And it's understood by Baker that he needs to come in here and learn the National Football League game.
You are a factory of sadness!
It has to be understood by Baker. Now, I'm going to have a hard time because that's a last name, and I don't know how to call him anything like a Baker. Hey, Baker. That's kind of weird to me. But then again, my name is Hugh, but it's spelled completely different than you'd expect.
But the thing is, as Hugh said, he has to come in here and learn how to play NFL football. But how's he going to do that in Cleveland?
I don't have the slightest idea. Actually, Tom, I think they're pretty soon they're going to get us the NFL Network down here, and we can go ahead and watch some of those NFL film things. Say, look, see this guy back there? That was Jim Brown. If you could do that, we'll be great.
This is what we're going to get on Hard Knocks this year.
That'll be great. I'm telling you what. See, the thing is about Browns fans, you were telling me this, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. They're all excited, and they should be. I mean, you know, John Dorsey, he's made a lot of moves. We saw this coming 2 or 3 years ago. All of a sudden, all of us looked around and said, damn, they got a lot of fucking picks, man. That guy, they brought that guy in from the Red Sox. Remember that he was going to play Moneyball with them? And that's what he managed to do. He managed to parlay a lot of fucking picks. And it's all a matter of whether or not
this time
they used him on the right players.
Is this year, John.
You know, they have opportunities for fucking opportunities every year for high-ranked players. This time, did you get the right ones? They made a lot of good signings. They had a lot of decent freaking... They got a lot, dude, when 0-16 team, right? You turn that son of a bitch over like a fucking overdone pancake, right?
Yes.
Gosh, gee, we should put butter on this and tell everybody it's done.
I absolutely believe in the Cleveland Browns. I know they can win 3 games this year.
It's Believeland, baby.
We're called Believeland for a reason. Go Browns!
Oh, my gosh. Cavs are playing tonight.
See, I don't care. I couldn't care less.
Oh, I like watching the Cavs. LeBron's just, he's been the best basketball I've ever seen him play this year.
That's great. You know what? If I watched him for 10 seconds, I'd say the same thing because that would be the only freaking NBA I've watched this year. I'm much more interested in the Capitals and the Stanley Cup, baby. Go Red!
Okay, so... Yeah, the Browns are going to be featured on Hard Knocks this year. It's going to be the first year of the show will feature a laugh track. You know what I'm saying?
That would be great.
Anyway, I wanted to play this from Mike Mayock. This was right before the draft started, okay?
Right.
And they went to Mike Mayock to ask him about, you know, who the Browns should take first. And who was the other quarterback?
Everybody thought he were going to take Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. Yeah, that's who he thought he thought they should take.
You're John Dorsey, and you're the new general manager of the Cleveland Browns. This first pick of yours sets the tone for your franchise. It shows all the players in the locker room what a new Cleveland Brown looks like and smells like by your definition.
By their definition, John.
Dude, what is the phrase? By any other name, a turd is a turd is a turd. This is what the Browns are going to smell like, according to John Dorsey.
Right.
You know, I can understand everything he said all the way up to the point where he was like, you got to bring him into the locker room. Hey, everybody, this is Baker Mayfield. Come on around and have a whiff. Come on, everybody. Smell this guy's sweat. You're not going to believe it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll see. I think they have to be improved. They did get, you know.
Yeah.
They got
you
a lot of
can't help
players.
It. 100, dude, two wins is 200% improvement.
Right?
All right, realistically, what do you think they can do?
I don't know, man. I, honestly, who knows?
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll say, you know what? They're going to make the Cleveland or the Cincinnati Bengals sweat about who's landing in the basement.
Okay.
Five to six.
Okay.
5-6.
5-6 wins?
For the Browns.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that. Hey, but speaking of which, you're up there. I heard that Hugh was going to jump in the lake. When did he do it?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, we got to find out about that.
Yeah, we got a lot of coverage of their parade, but nothing on. I never saw anything about it.
The big zero.
Right.
The big zero march.
All right, let's move on. Ray Lewis. I don't know what the heck got into Ray Lewis, but he decided that he was, maybe it was just because he was sitting next to Colin Cowherd, your favorite guy in the world.
Jesus Christ. He didn't kill him. Come on, Ray.
But here's Ray talking about Odell Beckham Jr.
Where there's no God, there's chaos. Odell has removed God from his life. This is a kid that grew up under the covenant of who God really is. And everything that he's doing, he's crying out for help. We have a lot of people reporting about him. It's always been the duty of elders to go back to help them. So that's why I raised my hand.
I have no idea what Ray is talking about because obviously he speaks in tongues that I don't understand.
I heard what he had to say about Odell Beckham Jr. You know me, Tom. I am listening to everything.
Hello, God.
Hello. It's been a while. You haven't been calling. And neither has Odell Beckham Jr.
Whoa, what do you mean?
I've got news for Mr. Ray Lewis. For one, stop calling me, goddammit. You're ringing my phone off the hook. Ray Lewis, I swear, you know, you want to talk about somebody who wastes their prayer minutes. That's one right there. Every goddamn thing that comes up, he's like, oh, Lord, please help me run through this red light before it changes.
Oh, jeez.
But Odell Beckham Jr., I want you to know, you can do whatever you want with your life. Down there, they have everybody terrified, Tom, that the homosexuals are something I hate. It's not true, Odell, call me.
Well, now, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. All right, so Odell Beckham Jr., he went on Instagram, or he was on, and he was in church while Ray Lewis is spewing this stuff. There's a picture, a video of him praying with a group in church, and it's got the caption, "The foundation was installed at birth. We will survive and pray and prevail, always, God willing." He's sitting there next to his 95-year-old great-grandmother. All right.
It's a stunt.
And it's a stunt.
It's a stunt. It's a political stunt. That's what it is. All it is a photo op. He just wants the Giants to go to the playoffs, for God's sakes. They're not going to let him out of his contract.
Are you telling me it's fake news?
All of it's fake news, Tom. I am the only one that tells anyone the truth, and I never tell anyone the truth.
Okay.
Odell Beckham Jr. should go back to play for the Giants. He should show up to OTAs, and he should get busy. Right now. God damn it. Papa's going to bet heavy on the Giants this year.
Okay. All right.
And Ray Lewis, honestly, stop calling.
Thanks, God.
Goodbye. I have spoken!
I smell ozone.
All right.
Is that what a brown smells like?
I don't know, but I know what Martellus Bennett smells like.
Really?
Weed.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He's writing children's books.
What?
Yeah, he's doing cartoons and whatnot. He's always wanted to do that kind of stuff. Remember way back in the day when Twitter first started, I got a hold of him on there when we were doing the show. It was like, I don't know, episode 35, 40, somewhere back, way back when. Remember when that Eagles offensive lineman was tweeting with me and taking pictures of himself while he was driving down the fucking highway?
Right.
Right. Okay. So he told me then that he was interested in talking to me about some animations, and then it kind of fell off. We didn't do anything. Right. And he wants to do children's books.
Oh, my God.
So that's what he's doing. And you got to be high to do those. You ever read those things?
He retired, right. And he was on a Bleacher Report podcast hosted by Chris Sims and Adam Lefko, and they were talking about how many guys in the league actually smoke marijuana, and this is what Bennett said.
I want to say about 89%. I mean, there's medical marijuana.
Yes.
So it's like, there's times of the year where your body just hurts so bad that you don't want to just be popping pills all the time. Like, there's a lot of these anti-inflammatories that you take for so long that, like, it starts to eat at your liver and your kidneys and things like that. I mean, and a human made that. God made weed.
God made weed.
Hey.
Thank you very much, very much. Thank you. Everyone go get your card.
Well, he was asked if it's shocking when he finds out a teammate doesn't smoke weed. And he said, when I find that out, he looks at the guy and says, "You don't smoke, bro?"
Oh, of course not. No, no. I'm the punter. I can't. I've got to keep my mind clear.
The guy that doesn't get in.
No, I've got to catch that freaking snap, and I've got to put it down and put the laces out so the kicker can, you know, make his shot there. It's important.
Well, I guess the 89% of the league is able to quit, you know, about 6 weeks before training camp because, you know, we know Jaworski says it all the time. As long as you pass that one test at training camp, you can smoke 11 months out of the year.
And you know that motherfucker's consumed a lot of Funyuns. Look at that fucking cheeks of his. So, you know, he had plenty of his own. In the 70s, he was doing cocaine before he went out on the field. That freaking stupid mustache of his was constantly all full of. Hey, I was eating powdered donuts before the game. That's all. 89%. That's a rather specific fucking. Maybe he got a call like right at the last minute from some fucking linebacker in New England. Hey, man, leave my name off this, man.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot. I don't know.
89. Well, it's a lot, but it's rather specific.
Right.
89%.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Almost 9 out of 10. What the hell happened there?
Well, you know,
maybe one of them was Ryan Shazier, and he, well, no, he can walk again, so.
All right, let's move on to Belichick.
Okay.
Belichick, you know what? I've found out about Belichick. His post-game press conference is about the same as his post-draft press conference.
It's just probably how he talks to his girlfriend at dinner.
I can't even imagine.
Oh, you know, it seems like dinner's been a complete success here, darling. We've gotten excellent service out of the wait staff. It looks like the dishes were nice and clean. My forks were properly spaced. Everything looked great. The water was kept filled. I thought my appetizer arrived not too hot, but not too cold. It was perfect right in the middle there, and
All right. Jesus.
Later, we can probably go home and have some sort of sexual encounter.
Well, he was asked why, you know, Gronkowski's not at OTAs, and he was asked about that, and he'd already said he wasn't going to talk about it.
Yeah, like I said, Mike, I'm focused on the guys that are here, and those are the guys that we're working with in this OTAs process in phase three. That's who we're focused on.
It's phase three.
You know, all I can it sounds like a Harley that's pulled up next to you. Your windows are up and you can hear him next year.
I think he'll be in camp come.
It's just
all right. Then of course somebody has to ask him about Brady and why he's not at OTAs.
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about?
Yeah, I'm not gonna talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard, and those are the guys we're gonna focus on.
I love him.
He's sunbathing naked somewhere in Norway or Italy or someplace like that. I don't know. Listen, he's been in the league forever. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame with his dick hanging out, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. Oh, I'm sorry. I told too much truth there. Yeah, Tom, we'll get things straight real quick. The offense, the defense, I think they've had a good practice. Our special teams was looking pretty good. Looks like everything's going great.
All right, and then we got this clip. Somebody asked him, you know, these guys, the analysts out there, John.
The analysts,
you know, like Michael Irvin.
I am an analyst, and my job is to analyze football and make comments.
The analysts all say you gotta draft the positions that you need, John.
Well, of course you do.
Yeah, you can't draft the best player available. You have to draft the position that you need.
I completely agree, unless you need a punter a kicker.
Belichick does not agree. Belichick really? doesn't get that at all.
Yeah, well, again, the whole draft need thing is, I don't really understand that. I mean, you put a card up on the board, that doesn't mean the guy's a good player. I think it's important to acquire good players wherever they are. If you take a player at a position that you, like, so-called need, but he's not good enough to fill that need, then you just, it's a wasted pick. So I don't understand the whole need thing. I understand player value, and that's what we try to go by.
And there it is.
I got to completely disagree with the greatest coach of all time here, Tom.
This is half the audience in the world.
Oh, yeah? Well, what the fuck does he know?
Oh, shit. You know, I kind of agree, but I mean, I understand where he's coming from. I also understand that he's just talking to the guy that's in front of him until the guy turns around and leaves. You know, he's just sitting there creaking like a door. But if you draft a guy that you don't need, you know, what if the best player available is a wide receiver and you've got two great wide receivers? What are you going to do? What if you need a deal? You need a linebacker. You got a huge hole in the middle of your defense. You know, I understand it's all a crapshoot, but
he's probably already got a linebacker because he drafted somebody who is a good player.
Yeah, he did. He drafted a football player, and we see how well that does. Did you see that the Cleveland Browns cut Scott McLuhan loose again?
Oh, really?
They brought him in to consult on the draft here for the Cleveland Browns. Remember a couple years ago, they consulted a homeless guy.
Yes.
Right, so I guess they stepped up a little bit, but they still cut him.
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about...
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard, and those are the guys we're going to focus on.
There he is.
Yeah, like I said, Mike, I'm focused on the guys that are here. These are the guys that we're working with in this OTA process, phase three. These are the guys I'm concentrating on. That's who I'm focused on.
Wow.
It does. That's what it sounds like in my headphones. It's just a rumble.
Let me tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just going to make some noise here for 30 seconds. You can use that for however the hell you want.
So, all right, let's see. We have so much stuff. There's so many things we could have spent. We could spend 3 hours tonight, probably more, just talking about all the stuff. The stuff, John. Let's get to Ben Roethlisberger's stuff.
Yeah, and that's old stuff, too.
I know,
but it's great stuff.
So good.
It's great stuff. What the fuck's up with Ben Roethlisberger? What a dick. Well, we've already established podcast that he's a dick.
Is he? I mean, okay, yeah, we've seen that in some areas of his life, but is he about this? I'm not sure. And this is what I'll say. I remember, is Brett Favre a dick?
Well, you'd have to ask Jen Sturger. We have photographic evidence of his dick. And Roethlisberger walked down the hallway of a bar in just outside of Atlanta with his dick hanging out.
Okay, so he used his dick.
Well, he does that anyway. But the point being is, we've got other things that he talked about. Remember we had that thing about when he was in a Denny's and he wouldn't leave the goddamn waitress alone because she was pregnant?
Yep.
He's a dick.
But I just remember Favre, when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, he was like, whatever.
Oh, I know. He was a dick, too.
Well, this is the thing. Okay, let's listen to the audio of Roethlisberger. You know, because I think the weird thing with Roethlisberger is, like, he's like, I don't know, maybe I don't have, you know, I'm going to retire. He talked about it. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to play 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Okay, and is that because they drafted a quarterback, which, by the way, is Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State, in the third round? And, you know, he does. I mean, I'm going to play this clip of him on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. He seems annoyed as he talks about this.
I was surprised when they took a quarterback because I thought that maybe in the third round, you know, you can get some really good football players that can help this team now. And nothing against Mason. I think he's a great football player. I don't know him personally, but I'm sure he's a great kid. I just don't know how, you know, backing up or being the third, who knows where he's going to fall in the depth chart, but helps us win now. But, you know, that's not my decision to make. You know, that's on the coaches and the GM and owner and those kind of things. So if they feel like he can help our team, so be it. But I was a little surprised.
Okay, see, what I'm hearing out of him is maybe he's being, maybe you call him selfish, because I don't hear him afraid of the quarterback. I don't hear him criticizing the quarterback. What I hear from him is that was too early. He doesn't understand why they spent a third round pick on a quarterback. Why? Because they need help now. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He doesn't know how many years he's got left. So give him all the help you can give him, and a backup quarterback isn't giving him any help. That's what I hear.
Well, I hear something similar to that, but more or less it sounds, instead of sounding like, well, you know, I don't think this guy can really help us win right now, I think that I hear what I hear is, I don't think this guy can help me win before I retire. I don't know why you're drafting him. The world isn't going to fucking keep going after I retire. It's going to stop. The NFL's going to stop.
Oh,
you know, he was the one. He said, not only did he say that he might retire after he got tired of Tom Brady kicking his ass in championship games, but he also said earlier in that season that, you know, maybe I just don't have it anymore. Boo-hoo, fucking boo-hoo me. Right?
Right.
How old is he?
Oh, wait. Phone's ringing.
Hello! This is Ben Roethlisberger, and I am the fellow on the telephone who won two Super Bowls. You must take my call.
Yes, yes, Ben. Hello. Hi, it's John and Tom at the Bang Radio Hour. What's happening?
Well, I don't think that I should have to stand for this sort of thing. I told you who I was. I am Ben Roethlisberger, and I have won two Super Bowls, and I have been waiting for you to say so. As you well know, we have talked about this before, Tom.
Yes, you are Ben Roethlisberger. You have won two Super Bowls, and you called us, I assume, because you heard us talking about you.
That's right. I have won two Super Bowls, and I am calling to address these heinous accusations that are being cast about all willy-nilly-like.
Willy-nilly.
It is slanderous, Tom. It is slanderous, and I should sue everybody. I never said that I wouldn't help that guy. I never said that they shouldn't have taken him. I never said that I would not ever give him any assistance.
Okay, well, all right. I have a direct quote from you.
Okay.
When they talked to Mason Rudolph about the comments you made on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, which we just listened to, so you know what you said there.
I'm sorry, Tom, but I cannot possibly listen to you until you acknowledge who I am.
I already did. You are Ben Roethlisberger.
You did? You told me who?
You are Ben Roethlisberger, and you have won two Super Bowls.
Thank you. Now we can discuss things.
Okay, so Rudolph told reporters that it wasn't up to you. He didn't expect you to mentor him. And your response to that was, quote, if he asks me a question, I might just have to point to the playbook.
Well, that's true. I might just have to point to the playbook because I'm going to show it to him before I slap him upside of his stupid little punk-ass head. That's what the fact of the matter is. Who the fuck does he think he is coming and trying to take my job? What the fuck drafting this guy? Don't they know who I am, Tom? Don't they know who I am? I am Ben Roethlisberger, and I have won two Super Bowls.
I don't think they want him to replace you. I think they want to groom him for the future because at one point you will retire.
I'm sorry. I told you I'm going to play for 3 to 5 more years, which could be construed as saying 35 years. Listen, I'm feeling very virile. I'm feeling very strong. So it's possible that I might just play beyond the time that little Mr. Rudolph can, stay in the league.
Well, then they can trade him to somebody else.
Well, I guess they would have to and bring in somebody that can help me win my third Super Bowl, because while it is great to be Ben Roethlisberger who has won two Super Bowls, it would be even greater to be Ben Roethlisberger that has won three Super Bowls. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree with that, Ben, yes.
Listen, I tell you what, even though I have talked about retirement and now I have not talked about retirement, I have come up with what I've decided to do with my life after football. And I'm going to write children's nursery rhymes, as you well know, and I have come out with a new book.
You've got a new book?
Well, it's not found a publisher yet, but it's called, it's for children, and it is called Is Your Mother Hot? It's full of rhymes that say things like, is your mama hot? Tell her I am Ben Roethlisberger. I won two Super Bowls. But here, listen, here's a piece, something I'll give you a preview of my Christmas album that is coming out this year, and it's all about our rookie quarterback, and it's going to go like this. It's going to go ready. 1, 2, 3. Rudolph, the rookie quarterback, thinks he's going to take my job, and as soon as I see him, I will tell him to suck on my knob. Okay, all right, that one was kind of not for the kids, but here's another one. Try this one. Old Mother Hubbard lives in a cupboard, and Mason Rudolph can lick my big red hair. Yes. I'm running down some concepts for a Hansel and Gretel story, but we'll have to talk about that another time.
All right, Ben. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Goodbye.
What a dick. I told you.
I didn't know he was going to call in.
I didn't know he was going to be all stoned like that.
Like Michael Irvin?
Dude, I'll tell you what. He was in downtown D.C. I wish I would have known he was going to be there. I would have been the one asshole on the street that was fucking cheering for Michael Irvin.
So Michael Irvin's daughter just graduated summa cum laude.
Watch your language, Tom.
From Howard University. That's impressive. That is really...
That's right downtown in D.C. And yeah, that's a good school, man.
Summa cum laude is the highest distinction you can get. And Michael's here making sure... Well, he's in a... What was he on, Instagram?
He's out on the street corner. I mean, it's the Howard campus. The Howard campus is part of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he's got he's got his daughter and he's got his family out there.
Right. He's wearing a red suit.
He's wearing a red suit and there's this African dance that they do in Africa to honor their highest warriors.
I guess.
No, that's what it is.
Is it? All right. He didn't get this from some like old Doctari episode or something? No.
Well, I mean, if they had it on, I don't know.
That's the first time that the name Doctari has been mentioned in the United States of America this year. You know that, right?
Yes. Yes, it probably is. I would bet it is. Anyway, so he starts this dance, this African dance, while chanting Summa Cum Laude.
Summa Cum Laude. Summa Cum Laude.
Hey.
Summa Cum Laude. Summa Cum Laude. Summa Cum Laude. Summa
Brains running in Michael Irvin's blood, John.
Yeah, that's very smart, and that's a huge accomplishment. And I wish I'd have known they'd have been down there because I would have gone down just to go, "Hey, Michael."
Summa cum laude. Summa cum laude.
Hey.
Summa cum laude. Summa cum laude. Summa cum laude. Summa.
I don't want to make fun of his daughter at all. That was a terrific thing. So congratulations to him. That's terrific. But yeah, he is too much.
What's crazy is there was another story in the news this week out of South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. This woman named Kara Kaczynski. All right.
Okay.
Right.
She threw a graduation party for her son Jacob last Saturday. All right. And Jacob. She ordered a cake from a Publix grocery store. Well, he was also graduating summa cum laude. And so she ordered a cake to say, "Congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018.
Okay. That sounds terrific, Jacob. But she'll be very proud.
Yeah. Well, when she ordered the cake, the Publix website filters thought it was profanity. The cum. C-U-M. They thought it was profanity.
Well, I can't see how that could be possibly abused.
Well, it's just the website recognizes certain words and said, nope, can't do that. So Kara wrote a message with special instructions on part of the form on the website explaining what the term means and even sent a link to a website explaining the Latin, but it didn't matter. When she got the cake, it said summa and then it had --- laude.
I find that fine. I'm okay with that, Tom, because I don't want my sensibilities to be offended, especially if it's white frosting. And besides, I happen to know that the website she sent the computer to check out was a Bukkake site, and the fucking computer shut down. Could you imagine if they put, like, they, you know, those photo cakes, they put a picture of one of those Bukkake sites on there? Mom!
We have to pause for just a second because I want to tell our new listeners from the NFL Addicted Facebook page.
Hey.
You came here for stats and analysis? Is that what you expected on this show? Really?
I hope not. You ain't going to get it on this show. Here, look, I'll tell you what. Y'all people that are coming in here new from NFL Addiction, nice to see everybody. Nice to meet everybody. I've been out there posting on the board. Everybody's been having fun with you. That's nice. Actually, not everybody. There's 10,000 of you. So, you know, come on. Wake up.
Okay, so you see nothing wrong with this, but she had to explain to everybody at the party why it was censored. And she says her son was humiliated.
It's because of his mom having to explain what cum means.
You see, everybody, it's because cum is a word that grown-ups call semen. And when it comes out, the boy ejaculates. And Jacob ejaculates about, I don't know, 6 times a day if I'm reading his laundry right.
All right, why is Hugh Jackson doing this analysis?
I don't know. I fuck if I know. You can't put any goddamn fucking rules on this shit.
Well, Publix apologized and offered to pay for the cake.
Maybe I shouldn't have ordered the one that was shaped like a penis.
It's South Carolina. What are you going to do?
It's a computer. This is the thing. You know, this is computers have filters on them that are
right.
That are just like these You don't have to think anymore. You don't have to think anymore. Nobody has to fucking think at anything. Nobody's responsible for anything. Nobody's responsible. The computer's responsible. We're sorry we fucked up your whole goddamn thing. And oh, by the way, kids, sorry for the 5 years of therapy we're gonna have to put you through because your mom was trying to explain to everybody why cum was left off of your cake.
Obviously, nobody read her special instructions. The computer wouldn't have anything to do with that. The website wouldn't have anything to do with that. You know what I'm saying? So I would have called the store.
I don't know. You know what would have been more fun is to go into the store and stand in front of the manager and go, "Why did you put any cum on my cake?"
Suma Kulate. Suma Kulate. Suma Kulate. Suma Kulate. Suma Kulate. Suma Kulate.
Oh, man, that's great.
You go to Publix and you put that on a boombox and stand in front of the manager's stand. You know what I mean? Put it up over your head.
Like, and say anything. Oh, that's great. All right, one more thing before I get to my favorite story of the week, and that was Terrell Owens had a big announcement on Thursday, or so we thought. All he did was announce that he will appear on Madden 19 special Hall of Fame cover.
Hey, you know, for all of you guys that pay attention to these people, the CBS fantasy analyst, one of them actually said he would be a wide receiver 3. He would consider him as a wide receiver 3 right now if he went back in the league.
Really, when's the last time he saw him do anything? How can he consider him anything?
I don't know. That's what he said. He said right now he'd be the best receiver on the Bills, and I couldn't find an argument. I'll tell you what, one of my favorite things I've been doing is I've been listening to back podcasts as I've been putting together these little mini casts for everybody is hearing how often Skip fucking goddamn Clueless is wrong about him.
I know what? The National what? Football
what?
League.
What?
This, right. Right. There's a debate between him and Stephen A about him and Randy Moss that's ridiculous. And both of them are going in the Hall of Fame on the same fucking
it's great.
Day.
It's great.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
All right. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
This has got to be my favorite story. Krista Glover is the wife of PGA pro golfer Larry Glover. Well, she was arrested after she verbally and physically attacked Larry and his mother, her mother-in-law.
His mother?
Yes.
God damn.
Well, Glover was in the Players' Championship a couple weeks ago, and he missed the cut. He shot a 78, and he told the police that his wife regularly becomes abusive every time he plays poorly in a golf tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Dude, you've got a bag full of clubs. What the fuck is the matter with you? If they're abusing you, you know, all gloves are off.
Well, she was charged with domestic violence and resisting arrest without violence. She was taken to the St. Johns County Jail and released on a $2,500 bond. Right. Glover's 62-year-old mother, Hershey Glover, suffered multiple lacerations to both arms. She had her own blood all over her clothes and skin, according to the incident report.
What? For lacerations?
Yeah.
From what? What, did she cut her with her fingernails?
I don't know.
Jesus.
Again,
dude, that's your mother. You got a bag of clubs. What the fuck's the matter with you?
Now, his wife, Krista Glover, she actually called 911. And she's talking to 911 and telling them, obviously she was lying to them based on the results of what happened at the end of all of this.
Look what you made me do.
What are you, Taylor Swift? What do you, what?
Well, that's, any abuser. That's what they say. Look what you made me do.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this woman's an abuser no different than any other fucking wife beater out there.
Well, yeah, if she's doing this on a regular basis, like I said, he takes the phone from her while she's talking to 911, which he he shouldn't have done that.
Well, of course not. She's going to kick his ass, Tom. What he's just asking for.
Once you call 911, no matter what you tell them before that call's up, the police are coming.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. No matter what.
Yeah, so all of you listening, if you didn't know that, you dial 911 and then you decide you don't need them. The cops are still coming to your house.
All right. This is for all of you out there. Your FYI for the day. The more you know from the Bag Radio Hour.
That's
don't
right.
Call 911.
We are here to educate.
That's right.
So the best thing is we have the call.
Okay. Let's hear it.
All right. So here's the 911 call made by Krista before Larry takes the phone.
911, where is your emergency?
I've been attacked by my mother-in-law.
Okay, you said you were attacked by your mother?
Yes, and my mother-in-law, she
Is she still there?
Yes. She's here. She's locked herself into the room, and she's attacked us.
How did she attack you? How did she attack you?
Hello?
Hello. Now Larry has taken the phone from his wife.
That's a bold move for a guy. I tell you what, she's about ready to turn around and claw his eyes out.
Hi, this is St. John's County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I think we've got our lines crossed here.
This is the most sane one of the bunch.
He says, this is the sane one of the bunch.
Yeah, it's okay. Can you bring a pepperoni with some sausage?
It's a party line, he thinks.
Okay, well, can you tell me what's going on there?
Yeah, my wife has called you, my mom, and now she's trying to blame it on my mother, which is not the case at all. My mother's the one bleeding, and my wife has gone crazy.
I like what the wife said. My mother-in-law has now locked herself in a room. Yeah, to keep you away from her.
Right.
My mother-in-law attacked me. She's the one with the cuts all over her arms and the blood all over her, and I've got nothing wrong with me, but she's the one who attacked me.
I'm holding this axe to protect myself from the woman behind the big locked door.
Okay, does she need fire rescue to come out there and look at her?
No, I don't think anybody needs to come out here. Thank you, bro.
I love that. I know sometimes it's hard to understand. Do you need fire and rescue to come out there and look at her? No, I don't think you need to come out here. Thank you, though. He's all
okay. Yeah, I appreciate the offer, but no, I think we're all right.
Okay. Well, we still have deputies that are coming out there just to make sure that everything is okay there. Can I talk to your wife real quick?
No, you cannot. She is in the house with my daughter, and when the deputies get here, they need to talk to the male. That would be me, because these other two are out of their head at the moment.
You have to talk to the man. That's me. You'll see me over here.
He says because these other two are out of their minds right now.
Talk to the male. You'll notice me because I've got the penis.
Okay, sir, but she dialed 911, so I need to speak with her so I can find out what's happening from her side.
Well, she's going to lie to you. That's what I'm telling you. That's why I answered her phone. She's telling lies, and none of it's true.
She's gonna lie to you. That's what I'm telling you. She's not telling the truth.
She's gonna come out here and just give you full of nothing.
Nope.
She's a liar. You can't trust her.
But I want to talk to her.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi, is this the person I was talking to originally?
Yeah, we're not having a great issue tonight, unfortunately.
Okay, we do have deputies on their way out there. Can I get your name?
I don't know. Did we help or not?
We've got deputies coming out there already, okay?
Okay, thank you.
What is your name?
Yeah, we're going to go.
Can I get your name, ma'am?
That was really weird. Your name? Yeah, we're going to go. Can I get your name?
Yeah, she thinks that once she hangs up the phone, it's all over.
Yeah.
Right.
Because she's drunk.
You know, I dialed the wrong number. Sorry.
Yeah, she's drunk. Well, according to the police, when they got there, she was a mess. Everybody told the cops that she was the one who was doing all of this stuff. Glover said she'd been drinking throughout the day. She started yelling at him. She called him a pussy and a loser over his performance. She told him how he needs to fire everybody associated with him and how he better win or her and the kids would leave him and he would never see the kids again.
Kids. All right, let this be a lesson to you. Everybody out there in Bang Radio Hour land, listen to me and listen to me good. Never marry a fucking stripper. All right? This is what happens. Okay, never marry a fucking stripper.
Well, as I said, she resisted arrest. She was placed in the patrol car. She damaged the door. She kicked the hell out of the door. She yells, this is my favorite part. This is classic. Wait till the PGA Tour hears about this, she yelled at the cops. You will lose your job. Then she says, this is why cops get shot in the face.
Oh, fuck her.
Then she says, wait till I talk with the judge. You will be fucking fired over this.
I don't think that happened, did it?
Well, and then while they're taking her to jail, two deputies went to loosen up her handcuffs. She tried, and when they did, she tried to get away, took both cops to re-handcuff her. She pleaded innocent, and now she's going to go to court.
God damn it.
This is white privilege in action, Tom. Actually, you know what? The first thing I thought in my head was, you know, if I'm a Golf Channel executive, I'm going, hey, this will fill up Saturday night at 9 o'clock pretty good. Real Housewives of the PGA.
Oh, I love, wait till the PGA Tour hears this. Yeah, when they hear that, they're going to be so embarrassed.
I know, right? They're gonna call what's his name aside and say, "Look, you can't let your wife do that when you're on the tour. You understand? It makes us all look bad. It's bad enough we got to walk around wearing clothes like this, but good God,
wow!
Yeah, man. Wow. Well, you know, spousal abuse is never funny unless it's famous people.
This is a guy who won the U.S. Open. He has a major victory under his belt."
She was on the sidelines.
You fucking idiot, you better hit this fucking putt.
She's beating up the guy holding the quiet sign.
Right. Fuck you. Let me tell you something, goddammit. He's gonna hit this fucking putt, and I'm gonna go get your fucking ass fired. Hit the putt. Goddammit, Larry. The cameras were on.
Oh, oh shit, man. Golf. See, this is the off season, man. We have a little bit of golf and everything.
We got a little bit.
We had our annual golf update. We had our annual NHL update. We had an NBA update. For all of you that are new listeners, there you go. That's your 2018 NBA update right there.
We didn't do the NBA update because we're out of
yes,
time.
Yes, you did. But you said you like to watch LeBron James play basketball, and that was, there you go.
All right, come on, get to the email. Let's go. I want to hear from
our emails. Let's see here. Porter sent us an email a few weeks ago that I thought was just terrific, and he said, "Did you see Johnny Weir's Kentucky Derby outfit? Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! What the hell is wrong with that guy?" Thank you, Porter. That was terrific. I fucking thought that was great that every Jesus Christ got progressively bigger until the last one is these giant bold letters.
Jesus Christ.
No shit. So, you know, I tell you what, the point being is it's Johnny Weir. He's got the Kentucky Derby's hard, right? You got to think of this. All of the jockeys, you see what they wear? He has about a 75% chance of clashing with half of them no matter what he wears. They're like, shut up there, Mr. Ed. They're like little packs of Skittles up on top of a horse. You know, they're so small and light, Tom. They're just like adorable, like little Hispanic dolls. You know, the kind your mother always said they were just for show because they came from Guatemala or something.
I didn't even see Johnny Weir at the Kentucky Derby. I didn't even notice because I wasn't watching the Kentucky Derby.
But God, look at those horses' asses as they run around the corner. Look at the muscles.
I was on vacation. I had no idea what happened. So,
well, the Triple Crown is in play now, I think.
Yes.
I think
yep.
The same horse won the Preakness. I noticed the Preakness because it rained like fucking when it was on television. You couldn't even see what was going on.
That's right. Justify, John. Justify.
Justify.
That's the horse.
He's a mutter.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We've got Shelly Strayer-Rosen from NFL Addiction, one of these people from NFL Addiction. Now, over on NFL Addiction, which is a Facebook group that we talked about earlier in the show, God damn, there's a lot of people over there. Everybody that's a listener to the show, jump over there. It's good football talk. I think you'll enjoy it. I put up a thread every week, I guess I will, for a shout-out. Anybody wants to play along with the show? And Shelly Strayer-Rosen, she jumped in and she says, "What I really want to know is when do I think Sam Darnold gets to see the field?" And she thinks that Mel Barcos would surely want to know that too. I don't know who Mel Barcos is, but I'm sure I'll be interested. Look, I'll tell you what, Shelly, it is Memorial Day weekend. So even though the stadium is probably closed, if he gets there early enough when the maintenance crew shows up, they'll probably let him in to have a look around, don't you think, Tom?
I'm sure he's already walked on that field.
I don't know. Did they have it decorated for the Giants that day? I don't know. You know, when is he going to get to see the field? You're going to have to show me which field is his.
He will not play before Saquon Barkley plays for the Giants. Damn it, John. That still burns me up. They got him.
I know. I hate that shit. I love Penn State and I love Saquon Barkley, but now he's dead to me. He's a subhuman now. He is. He's subhuman now. You know what happened to him as soon as they drafted him? As soon as Deion Sanders finished talking, "Well, how does it feel to be the number two pick for the Giants. The Giants picked you. How you feel?" As soon as that finished, they took him off stage and pounded a nail into his ear just so he'd have the proper fucking mental facilities to be able to play for the goddamn stinking Giants.
John Mara. Man. You know, by the way, we told you John is a Redskins fan. I'm a Cowboys fan.
That's right.
In college, I'm an Ohio State Buckeye fan. John is a Penn State Nittany Lion.
That's right.
So neither one of us liked the Giants getting Saquon Barkley.
No, it's the worst possible thing that could happen, because even though I'm a Redskins fan, I hate the Giants more than anything. More than anything. Honest to God, you put, you know, Vladimir Putin in front of me or John Mara, guess who I'm fucking punching first?
I didn't think you had anything against Putin anyway.
Oh, please, give me a break. Anyway, over on Twitter, Bandit Max Joe. Oh, Bandit Max Joe, he's been around since the beginning. He wants us to know, Tom, that the Eagles are still the champions. And I got to tell you, Tom, yes, Joe, we know. We're used to this. It lasts about a year.
Yeah.
Okay? So yeah. You'll be all right. Here's a tip for you newcomers from Philly. No matter what happens, you're the champs.
You see what happens? Damn it. I should have known better, John. When they won the Super Bowl, I sat here, I gave them a genuine, heartfelt congratulations. Right. I said, nobody can ever, ever take that title away from you, even though I didn't want them to win it. You know, I gave them their props, and I said, and until they are eliminated from next year's postseason, they are the defending world champions. Never good enough for them. They have to get, see, this is why everybody hates you.
Well, I got to echo that. Seriously, Joe, that was uncalled for. You know, I think we should put you in the corner for that.
Ah, we love you, Joe.
That's why. See, they don't listen, Tom. They don't listen. They should listen.
We love you, Joe.
Welcome to the club, Joe. You'll get used to it. Don't worry. Nobody's going to take it from you.
Joe, congratulations. The Eagles are still the Super Bowl champions.
Shut up, Tom. Jesus Christ. You don't have to rub it in. All right, here's a new buddy that we have from over there on the NFL Addiction Board that's on Facebook. Everybody should go over there and join that. Lee Albert Wickbolt. Dude.
I saw that Packer fan, man. Hey, wait a minute. John.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you suppose it's possible that that's the same guy?
Don't you think so?
No, it's not Worf.
Yeah.
Oh. Can't we just say it is?
I will. How about I'll tell you what. I'll read what he said like Worf would have read it. Hey there, I'm Cheeseless there. Hey,
go there, farm there.
That's right there. He says he is Cheeseless, the number one Packer fan. I have answers, not questions. Well, you know, we don't take questions. I know you guys are new. You all think that we're analysts and shit and that we're actually going to sit here and say, well, you know, Tom, I tell you what, I think the Browns' chances this year. No. I mean,
don't you think so?
Yeah. Don't you think? We do know, we know our football like you know your football, but this is a fan show.
You know as much as you watch. It's really that simple.
Right. Well, he says today's answer is the fact that Lambeau Field is the greatest stadium in the NFL. What do you say? I say, fuck, you know what? I'll tell you what. Build a fucking chair in that goddamn place, all right? It's a fucking glorified high school stadium. You know, you sit down on that motherfucker in December, you got to make sure your ass doesn't stick to it when you get up because it's frozen.
Okay, greatest, I mean, that is such a broad term. There's so many different types of stadiums. We need more. I want another email for the next show. I want you to give me details on why it is the greatest stadium.
How do you know when you're on that fucking long-ass bench, which seat is yours? How do you know? What if you're sitting next to one of those big 400-pound fucking cheese-eating fat women from goddamn middle of goddamn Wisconsin sitting up there, and she's right. Yeah, there's no arms to any chair to keep her fucking girth in and delineate where your space begins and hers is supposed to end. No, she's just going to squeeze into everywhere. How do you work that out? I got to think that if you people up there in Green Bay sectioned off those fucking benches, you would have a lot more seats to sell. For one, and you'd have a lot fewer people in the stadium.
Come on.
Here's what I say. Build a chair. That's what I say. Anyway, just kidding. This guy's from the new page over at NFL Addiction. Like I said, he's one of these crazies, dude. If you want to go find some fun, come over to that page. And you'll see him. He'll post up all the time. He posted a video up the other day. He's got this costume with a little face mask that hangs down off his sunglasses that's goofy as shit.
Does he do any videos?
Yeah, he does. They go on over there and they do these live things. He's a trip, man. And I will give him this. There's no cheese on his fucking head. So this is a maverick, Tom. He is out there on his own.
Go, Pack, go.
No cheese in sight. Yeah. I'm with this dude.
Well, if he does videos, he'll end up on this show, maybe.
Yes, could be. All right, Dom Magaro, also from NFL Addiction, says, how long do you think before Lamar Jackson becomes the starter in Baltimore? And, Tom, he's put two question marks on this, so I think this is very important. I don't know how long it's going to take. What the fuck do I know? I think, you know, Flacco, nobody likes him. So as soon as he throws an interception, I don't care if he throws two touchdowns, they win 14-10. But if he throws an interception in the fourth quarter and makes it tight, everybody's going to hate him. They're going to want to get him out of there the second he fucks up.
Well, that's it. You know, because when a team starts playing poorly, everybody's favorite player is the backup quarterback.
Right. Especially the one that's drafted in the first round. But there you go. Two question marks means that we will analyze football, I suppose.
I don't know if it's as much about him, because all I've heard is he looks great. He's picked up the playbook so quick. He's making beautiful throws, fluid. Yeah, what's practice? It's OTAs. It's not real game speed. But you can't answer it, because you have to see him in camp. You have to see him in preseason and then during practice once the season starts with the twos. And Flacco has to play poorly. If Flacco's playing great or the team is just winning, they're not going to do anything.
Why would you?
It's as much about him being ready to play as it is about Flacco playing poorly. You know, and it's that way with any team that drafts. It's the same deal with Darnold. It's the same deal with, up in Cleveland. I mean, if Tyrod Taylor sucks, then they're going to put in Baker. That's just it. But if Tyrod Taylor's kicking ass, Baker ain't getting on the field.
Yeah.
It's really what it comes down to.
Right. And last year, I think what happened was Flacco started the season off with a bad back, and that takes time to work out. And once the season got to about week 8, he started playing better.
Right.
I mean, he's never going to be elite, but I think that people that are going to say, well, if you're not Tom Brady, you're not worth it, that's just ridiculous, man. Y'all got a lot of, especially you young guys, y'all don't understand what the world is like without a Tom Brady in it. But that's most of what the NFL has ever been. You've never seen anybody like this. All right, this team is above a lot of other things that you're used to. The instant success, the all of a sudden turn around and dominate for 15 fucking years, you're not going to see that after they retire. It's just not going to happen.
No.
So you got to have patience with this kind of stuff. So, I mean, Flacco, he could start off all right, but people are still going to clamor for Jackson. And I think no matter what happens, by next year, if he's not the starter, there's a problem.
Look at the quarterback Bill Belichick groomed for the 49ers, for Christ's sake.
They got a second-round pick out of him. Who'd they draft with it this year? I can't remember.
I don't know, but the 49ers could care less. Look what they got.
I know. Well, you know, look what they got. There's a guy that looks good. Is he worth all of a sudden paying that kind of money? The way the world's gone with money is going upside down now. Cousins gets all that money guaranteed. This guy gets all that money based off of basically nothing. We've seen that before. Scott Mitchell.
I think this one's different.
I don't know. Hey, Lions fan, speaking of Scott Mitchell, Lions fan Roy McCarver, who is also the admin, the owner of that NFL Addiction Facebook group over there that I want everybody to go join, he asks us, where do we currently rank Matt Stafford as an all-time quarterback? All-time! And where do I rank his arm strength? I think he is second to Elway. Well, I guess we know that somebody smoked some sweet fucking chronic.
Somebody got their card.
Yeah, whoo, I know I did. Anyway, no, I'm not going to bust on Matt Stafford. I think he's a tough son of a bitch, that's for damn sure. And I think he's a good quarterback, but all time, it would take me a while to think about it, but I might think about putting him in the top 40.
Why are you thinking about it, is my question.
Because he asked me.
I know, but he said, what do you think about Matthew Stafford as far as all-time quarterbacks? I don't. And I won't until his career's over, number one. Unless he starts winning a bunch of rings, then you're like, oh, okay. Because, I mean, we can say Brady. We can say, even when Manning was playing, we can say Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
They all have this incredible body of work and all these other great, Joe Montana and so on. Stafford, I mean, hell, the last time I heard the guy mic'd up, you know what I heard? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. He got his collarbone. But you know what? That's why I like him. He's a tough motherfucker.
He is tough.
He got his collarbone broken on that play and came back in the game and threw a touchdown pass.
No. Now, he does have a very strong arm. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
I've never even thought about him in the conversation because I think he's still got – he's not old. I mean, he's still got several years to play. So I don't know.
You know the honest truth? I think what it is – all right, neither Tom or I are Lions fans like Mr. McCarver here. So we don't see it as closely as that. And until you start really winning, You know, show me some freaking major league deep in the playoff runs. Get me talking about him in context of putting together seasons that make the Lions relevant. Well, then I don't notice the rest of the stuff.
Right. Let's go back 2 years ago. That's like asking me, where do I put Tony Romo among all-time quarterbacks? And I wouldn't have even thought about that as a Cowboys fan. So he set some statistical records with the Cowboys, but I could give a damn about stats. You know, when Dallas won the Super Bowl in 1993,
lots of people weren't even born yet.
Go back and look at the stats of one Troy Aikman. Dallas went, you know, that's when they repeated the second year.
Oh, that, yeah.
He threw for 13 touchdowns and 12 interceptions that year.
Right.
So Romo has bigger statistics than Troy Aikman. I don't care. Aikman's got 3 rings. That's all I care about.
Right. See, the thing is, though, about Tony Romo that people don't give him credit for is I think that in the history of the NFL, Tom, he's only second to Tom Brady in sitting on his ass in the field holding his head in his hands in shame and abject freaking dejection.
Oh my God.
That there's only been Brady does it better.
You know, John, you love that Seattle fumble on the field goal. I know you love it. But damn it, you know, people would stop talking about it if you'd quit bringing it up.
That's right. Oh, did you hear the president said Spygate the other day? If anybody gets the president saying Spyzilla, oh my God, we know the president would listen to this fucking show.
You know Trump listens to us. He loves this show.
If he did, he'd be smarter. I can't accept that.
All right. Do we have any more email?
All right. One more. Dave Steger from also over on NFL Addiction says, I want to know how you and John Taman feel about the Packers season in 2018 is going to go. I think we already discussed that. I think they should build chairs in the stands. This is ridiculous.
We don't have time for all that.
All right. Who cares?
Yeah, really. What the fuck?
Come on.
You know, I tell you what. If Aaron Rodgers manages to get his G-string on straight, they'll play fine.
Yeah. Did you know Aaron Rodgers? Oh, I saw. Oh, my gosh. What was her name? Olivia Munn. That's who he was dating, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. She finally came out and talked about what happened between him and his family because people kept saying, remember there were rumors out there that she came between him and his family.
We talked about this on the show. And, you know, in Florida, in South Carolina, they would put ... on that where it said she and family.
Right. Well, she came out and said that she didn't have anything to do with it. That this problem existed long before they started dating, that his family's just flat out jealous of him.
Oh, I'm sure. I bet you they want money and he won't give it to them.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm sure he takes care of his mom and dad. I mean, if his brothers and sisters are like if they asked him for money and he gave it to them, great. But if they keep coming back, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. All I know is that she said the family's very jealous because I guess siblings or whatever were athletes and didn't make it.
Right.
And so it burns them up that he made it and they didn't. I'm like, oh my God.
Okay, God, grow the fuck up.
I know, man. That's crazy.
Jesus Christ. Kiss his fucking ring.
That's what she said. I just thought that was interesting after everything that had been flying around out there.
I think Lee Albert Wickbolt ought to go stand outside of one of Aaron Rodgers' brothers' house and yell at him while he's wearing his fucking Packers getup. Videotape it, dude. We'd love to see it.
He probably has, John.
Well, let's see the fucking archived footage.
All right.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, welcome, NFL Addiction Facebook page. And
welcome, everybody.
Send us some more emails. And don't forget, we need the details from the one about why is it the best stadium ever.
Yeah, please.
I want details.
You know, articulate. If you're going to give answers, you got to give answers because we're going to keep asking.
Yeah, because you got to do the analysis. We don't do that.
You know what? If he was smart, Tom, you know what he would do? He'd say, well, it's, you know, a good stadium because it's got good seats. You got a way to get in. You got a lot of parking out there. There's a field down in the middle. And you got concession stands around, and they make everybody stand up for the anthem. And, you know, so, that's how you do it.
What do you think?
Right. All right.
All right.
We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Suma Karate. Suma Karate. Suma Karate. Suma Karate. Suma Karate. Suma Karate.
Yo! Bang! Yo! Bang! Bang! Yo! Yo! And there's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait.
I only can control what I can control. When there's not much I can control, it's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
What's going on, peoples of UK? If you eat last night's leftovers from lunchbox, or your mouth water when microwave go ping, then you commit crimes against cooking. So thank goodness for Meerkat Meals. Dine out with 2-for-1 on food at your local favorites.
Like La Tasca and Pizza Express.
All with the Meerkat app when you buy through Comparsa Market.
Ooh, lunch is ready.
I'll get my coat.
Qualifying purchase, 2-for-1 on equivalent starters, mains and desserts, a la carte only, Sunday to Thursday, T's and C's and exclusions apply.